Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is Johnny Tan, author of From My Mama's Kitchen, Food for the Soul, Recipes for Living. Welcome to my weekly From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio Show. My guest for this morning is Tanner McElroy. Tanner is a former professional baseball player. He played for the Texas Rangers. We will be discussing his debut novel, War of Wings. It is a story about the first battle between good and evil. Unfortunately, Tanner is not able to be with us live this morning. However, I do have our pre-recorded interview for everyone to listen to. So without further delay, here is my interview with Tanner McElroy. Good morning, Tanner. Welcome to From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio. How are you doing this morning?
I am doing great. Thank you so much for having me on today. I really appreciate it.
Fantastic. It is a great pleasure to have you on the air with me. War of Wings is an interesting read. I've always been fascinated with the age-old battle between good and evil and the consequence it brings to human affairs. So congratulations.
Thank you very much. It's been a long time, and I'm really excited to finally have it out.
Fantastic. Let us start by getting to know you a little better. Please give us a quick walkthrough of your life from childhood to the present moment.
Okay. I was raised in Dallas, Texas, and I played baseball my whole life with my brother. And high school, I went and played at Texas Tech in Lubbock, Texas, and then I went and signed to play minor league baseball with the Texas Rangers organization. The bulk of my writing actually started on long bus trips in baseball when I was in the minor leagues with the Rangers. And then once I was done with that, I moved to L.A. and I studied acting and writing in Los Angeles, and then moved to Dallas and just recently published my first novel, War of Wings.
Interesting. When you were growing up, did you read a whole lot?
Yeah, I started out, I was kind of quiet when I was a kid. Which is pretty often now. My brother spoke for me. But, yeah, I started reading quite a bit at an early age.
When did you discover you liked to write?
That was early, too, I think, because I was so in my own head. I started writing really young.
Were there some interesting thing that you were writing about?
You know, I wrote a lot of stories that didn't make a lot of sense, I'm sure, but in my head, I remember the first thing I wrote was this story about a piece of gum and its travels on a piece on a shoe and all the things that it saw. And it was a lot of repetition and things, but it just started early.
So you pretty much daydream quite a bit, I guess.
When I was a kid, I definitely was daydreaming a lot.
Interesting. You read a lot. So let's talk about some of the people that really inspired you from the perspective of writing and so forth.
Okay, the first person that, first author that I really latched onto was Homer, oddly enough. But the Iliad and the Odyssey I was just kind of obsessed with. I like these crazy imaginary worlds, and to me all of that Greek mythology was so cool. And then I liked Tolkien, however you want to say it, with Lord of the Rings and The Hobbit. The Hobbit was probably my favorite book. And then Dante, the Divine Comedy, those things I just thought were really fascinating.
In reading this book, what was the most interesting aspects of it in terms of that motivates you, like, hey, I want to write one day, or how did it motivate you in terms of being creative in the sense of storytelling?
The way that those books motivated me, I think, were more in early base. Then I just became a big fan, just a huge nerd that loved epic fiction stories. And I always liked the theme. You know, one thing I really loved about Homer was just there's so much going on, but, you know, it really brought it to a human level, you know, and there's always relationships and trials and tribulations on his heroes. So I don't know. I think it just started out as a fan, really.
So it is the life story that sort of attracted you.
Yeah, definitely. The life story, I think all of the things that protagonists go through, mm-hmm. goes through in really good stories is something that I loved. And when I wrote War of Wings, it was more of writing what I wanted to read or see in a film, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Not that it's in a film, but that'd be great. you know, I think I wrote it more as a fan and just
right.
I wanted it to read. So.
I understand. Very interesting. What life's epiphanies moved you as a former professional baseball player and an actor to become an author then?
I think in the things that moved me in baseball were dealing with the epiphanies were really how to deal with, you know, losing and
mm-hmm.
how to deal with winning also at the same time.
Right.
The second thing with the epiphanies I learned with acting were a lot different. But as far as writing goes, I learned mm-hmm. how to justify your own actions, that every human justifies their own actions,
mm-hmm.
you know, even serial killers. So you have to be able to know what each character is justifying and why to be able to write.
Interesting. You mentioned about baseball and the concept of winning and losing, and I'm sure winning is always great regardless of when you win, but I think the losing end of the equation, losing early in the season versus, say, towards the end of the season, the impact of that losing, I'm sure it's a little bit different. Can you kind of give us an inside look on that?
Yeah, for me, I think I really hated to lose. And, you know, as a kid, you think the world revolves around you. And so,
right.
you know, the win is great, but it's not as bad as the sting of the loss. And so, for me, I think that's the bigger lessons for me were learned through mm-hmm. losing and going through, you know, rejection. And so I think that's what builds character, and it's how you handle things like that. You know, the tough times in life that really makes you who you are, and so that I'm really thankful to sports, believe it or not, from just learning those life lessons, because it gets harder than losing a baseball game, you know?
It always hurt more, I believe, losing towards the end of the season. I mean, all losses are hurtful, but I'm sure towards the tail end when it's such
a
big game.
Remember probably as a kid, probably the biggest loss I ever had was I was on a really good baseball team, select baseball team, and we were 26-0. We mm-hmm. had not lost, thought we were unstoppable.
Right.
And it was funny because we had a younger team in the playoffs, and they pitched a guy that mm-hmm. was not even a pitcher, kind of to save him for later.
Right.
And all of a sudden, you know, they were hanging around in the game and kind of snuck up on us, and mm-hmm. then they brought in their real guy that they were saving, and we couldn't hit,
right.
and they ended up beating us by one run. So the end of the season, losing at the end, is brutal.
Interesting. So how is this new endeavor as a writer different from your previous vocations?
Being a writer is much different from my previous vocations in one simple fact. Now mm-hmm. I'm living to work rather than working to live.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Explain that.
Living to work for me is like doing so. I've never done something and be able to monetarily have any kind of success, you know, with the artistic things or things that I love to do. You know, I've always worked to support my life mm-hmm. in order to have free time to do things that I love to do. And for me, everything is you know, creating.
Interesting. Very interesting. In reading about you, I noticed that family is a big thing for you, and it's very important in your life. Please share with us, how have they contributed to your life's success?
Yeah, family's always been very important to me. You know, my parents have been very supportive my whole life. I have a brother that is just the best brother in the world, and he's actually my business partner on my book. So I think having a strong team around you starts with family, and once you understand, you know, how to be in a group of people that, you know, love you and let them love you and love them back, it's really, really powerful.
When you talk about the opportunity to let someone love you, and obviously you have to be able to receive that love, can you give us some examples in terms of how one particular moment in your life that you notice that is just the thing that you are talking about?
Yeah, I think I think everybody may go through this in a certain way or on some certain level, but for me specifically, I had a really rough time in my life around mm-hmm. 25, and when you're at your lowest, it's hard mm-hmm. to receive love if you don't love yourself, and so
yeah.
you know, it's a strange thing. But it's so important to feel whole and love yourself, because if you don't, how is anybody else going to? And honestly, you don't really, you kind of shy away love, and you attract negative. So it's a tough deal, and you know, I don't recommend it for people that haven't
sure.
gone to that place.
But, interesting. Mm-hmm.
Definitely enlightening.
Very interesting. So what is the inspiration behind The War of Wings?
The inspiration behind War of Wings is really, this is a book that my brother and I have really always wanted to write, see, create, and really, I had back surgery, and
mm-hmm.
I had a chance to write it, and started mm-hmm. it, and couldn't stop. So the inspiration mm-hmm. has really been as fans wanting to see the first battle of good versus evil, how it works.
Okay. Is this book intended for the Christian market?
Is this book intended for the Christian market? That's one of those questions that I think people are going to have to read it to see. I was raised with a Christian mother. My dad was also Christian. A little more skeptical, but I think, you know, this book is, I'll just say this, the ISBN number of this book is dark fantasy fiction. So mm-hmm. it's not a Christian book, but it is based on the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of things, there's not a whole lot actually in the Bible about the fall of the angels, as much as you would think. But I use that as a template.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Interesting. So, who or what influenced you most in your writing?
In my writing, the biggest influence for me would be just the authors that I loved growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Being a fan of epic stories, as far as like things that you can disappear into another world. I had imaginary friends as a kid, you know. I like things where you can escape into another reality, and really, I think the driving force behind my writing is a good message. You know, there's so many things that are put out there that don't take you to a place that's better than you were before, and at least I want people to read, you know, what I wrote and be moved in a positive way. That's really just because those are the things that inspired me the most growing up.
I see. It's interesting you brought about the thought that as a child we tend to fantasize about certain things, the sort of utopia of things. And it is an escape because it gives you that opportunity to live life the way you deem it need to be. It allows you an escape to sort of that moment in time to really appreciate yourself and I guess eventually use that as a motivation to achieve what you have achieved today in some ways because this is where I want to go, this is what I want to be, so by definitions I have to take the baby steps and then eventually as an adult to get to that point, I presume.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny you say that. The epigraph of the novel is some see a hopeless end while others see an endless hope. And
yeah.
For me, there's been times in my life where I've focused on the wrong things and it's taken me in the wrong direction. I've had a pretty not direct, straight, narrow path.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, learning along the way has been something that has been great. So, you know, I don't know, I just focusing on the right positive things and finding things that can inspire you, I think, is something that's vital. And as long as you're seeking positivity, I think you can't really go wrong.
I understand. Please give us a synopsis of the book.
Okay. A quick synopsis of the book. It's about the fall of the angels from heaven, how heaven, perfect paradise, is corrupted by Lucifer, the highest cherubim angel, perfect image of beauty. And it's told through Gabriel's perspective and Lucifer's perspective, and they're brought together by Ariah, the virtue angel, and it culminates in the first war in heaven.
Very interesting. Why write about good versus evil?
A lot of my favorite stories always had the themes of good versus evil, even the movies like Star Wars. And those are, to me, it's just the highest stakes. And in writing, you're taught to raise the stakes constantly. And I think the bigger stakes, the more people can relate to different aspects of their life. And so this, to me, is just the, you know, the coolest thing to write about. What bigger villain is there than Lucifer or Satan in people's minds? It's kind of how I started it.
How did you come up with the various characters?
I came up with the characters through, you know, my own image of what people have out there with these characters, but also using myself in order to dive deeper into the thoughts and feelings and emotions of these characters, because they're not, none of them are that, are all good or all bad, especially at this beginning stage. Because, you know, I was thinking, how can heaven go from being perfect, you know, and there's no sin, there's no problems, and then it's corrupted? Well, what started that? And so that's really how I wanted to dive deep into Lucifer's, you know, going to have his own ways of doing things. And I thought pride and vanity, since it's in the Bible, and that's what, you know, God says Lucifer raises the throne above God's. So I used that as kind of the driving force. And then, you know, the creation of the sun, which is in Milton as well, was a means to justify his pride and vanity.
Were there challenges in writing the book?
You know, with writing, I mean, this is my first novel to actually put out there. I've been writing for a long time, but there were so many things that came, you know, up, you know, so definitely there was challenges. You know, the first draft I finished in 2009, and I was so proud of it. Now it's in my safe, and I've read it, and it's terrible. But there's so many things that you bump into along the way. And even when I finished, I had no idea all the challenges that go into getting a book published, and all the different choices, and all the different processes. So yeah, there's definitely challenges that have come up that surprised me. But it's been great, and I'm really happy to be here doing it now. So
I see. How much research did you do for the book?
I did a lot of research on angels and different religions to kind of see what the different perspectives were. I grew up, like I said, with a very religious mother, so that was a lot of the base was already there, is things that I'd already heard, and it was more of like a review with a lot of it. But, you know, I did not write this as a religious book, and the reason for that is exactly, you know, the fact that people all have their own ideas and religions. I mean, there's a lot of differences. I was actually pleasantly surprised to see that there were a lot of things like nine orders of angels and you know, a couple different, you know, breakdowns from religions of angels. And I don't know, there was just a few things that kind of surprised me. Seven archangels. I don't know. There's a few things, and I wanted to kind of blend those together. I was raised Christian, so I definitely stuck to the Bible as much as I possibly could, and you know, to make the story work. But that's not what it's about. It's not. There's no religious agenda behind the book. It's about a good message, and you know, that's why I wrote it.
You mentioned about message. What is the message are you trying to get up with this book?
Like the epigraph of the novel says, some see a hopeless end and others see an endless hope. You know, it's really, to me, something that we can all do is hold on to an endless hope, you know, hold on to love. Those are the things that really matter, I believe, in this world. And it's funny, when I saw that I was going to be on this radio talk with you, I read a quote at the top of the email I got. And 2 days ago when I was in Lubbock, Texas, I was talking to someone and kind of their philosophy on life and stuff. And they said something that kind of stayed with me. And it was that everything is either a manifestation, everything in life is either a manifestation of love or a manifestation of fear. And the manifestations of fear are the ones that are man-made, that send us in the wrong directions. And we got to really fight the manifestations of fear. And I don't know exactly what the quote was that I read on your site, but it was right along the same lines. And so I was like, that's really, really, you know, obviously a sign that I should probably pay attention to this even more than I already was. So, you know, pretty cool. And I really appreciate you having me on.
What you're talking about is we are governed by two but separate equal forces, love or fear. If we look through the lens of love, then we can create so many things through that, how we act around ourselves, our demeanor from the lens of love. If we look out through the lens of fear, then that creates a certain demeanor within ourselves as well. And so the choice is, coming back as to how it relates to your book, good and evil exist within ourselves. One of the things that God mentioned is, in creating heaven and earth, is the opportunity for people to have free will. And in reading your book, the fascinating thing about it is that it's the idea that through the eyes of evil, I'm right. To the eyes of good, I'm right.
Everyone justifies their own actions, even serial killers. Thank you. I appreciate you picking up on that, because that's one of the things I really tried to work hard on. And especially for Lucifer, I use the documentary Shoah, which is 8 hours basically of how Hitler did what he did. And you know, I saw Timothy McVeigh. You know, he was a terrorist. And I watched this documentary on him. I'm like, he legitimately thinks he's right. So I felt like that really had to be a common theme in this with Lucifer as well.
Very interesting. One of the things that you covered in your book, and you talk about there's certain commonality, and of course in this case it's focused on based on your knowledge of the Bible, and reading some religious documents and so forth, the significance of numbers. Tell us a little bit about that.
The significance of numbers, there's a few things in this book that relate to, you know, five being the number of man, six being the number of Lucifer, Satan, seven being the number of God. There's a few little Easter eggs, I guess you would call them, in there for all the gamers. They call those in video game world Easter eggs, you know, finding things. But I don't know, for some reason I felt like using those numbers was the right thing to do.
How much of you is in the book?
There's a lot of me in the book, and I don't mean personally. I don't have any angel wings, and I'm not Lucifer, I'm not Gabriel, I'm not perfect, I'm not that evil, you know. But I am definitely pieces of both, you know. It's what I really learned studying acting is how to really get inside your own head and use the things that you've already had and experienced: anger, sadness, depression, happiness, joy, you know, surprise. Those are the things that you already know. Everybody knows. And so it's all about taking that farther and putting yourself in the scenario. And, there's pieces of Lucifer in me that I was able to draw on certain things of, you know, like you say, of fear. Fear that this person isn't going to love me back the way that I'm loving, and they're not giving me what I'm supposed to be giving them. So you dive into that direction of, you know, with fear. And it's funny, he explains it this way, but with Gabriel, it's the same thing. It's I have him try to be more, you know, human. And, he's kind of lost at the beginning, and then he starts to find his way, but he's following his lens of love. And so, you know, I think anyone can relate a little bit, because, you know, we all have these forces that are driving us.
Right, right. Very true. Well, when we allow love to exceed our fear, we will experience harmony in everything that we do.
Yeah, that is the quote that I read. I really like that. I mean, it's a great way of putting it. I mean,
yeah.
You know, sometimes I can't find words to describe things that I feel, and that's something that I feel is very, very true, just from my own experience in life, having it, you know, had a fall, and, you know, having come to a good place. So.
Well, it's true, because all of us, we have plans in life. However, each plan is different. Each one of us are looking for that own sort of perfection that we seek in life. However, we need to realize that every moment is a conscious choice that we have to make. So when we allow our love to exceed our fear, then we will experience harmony in everything that we do.
Yeah, I like it. That's very well said. And you know what? A good thing on top of that from the movie Vanilla Sky, there's a quote where she says, each day, each minute is another chance to turn it all around, or something like that. But
that's right.
It's so true. Every day you wake up, you have to make the decision to pursue love, pursue, you know, fight the fear. So
that's true. Who should read this book?
The people that should read this book, you know, that's what surprised me is this was really cool. I had an 11-year-old at Barnes & Noble. I was doing a signing at Firewheel Mall here in Dallas. She was like, I really liked your book. And you know, I was like, wow, have you read it already? And she goes, well, I couldn't afford it, so I've been coming up to Barnes & Noble for the past week and reading it. And I was just, like, amazed by this little girl, you know. Because I didn't think that would be the market, but it is a simple read. So it was cool for me to see that someone. I mean, she was obviously highly intelligent. I mean, I know I wasn't reading books at Barnes and Noble walking up at 11, you know. I was reading some books that I had access to. So, you know, she's a pretty incredible person. But my point is I never thought that that would be someone that I would reach. And then I've had, you know, adults as old as, you know, 65, 70, you know, I don't even know. So I really can't, I don't know. It's a long way of saying I really don't know. But hopefully I think a lot of people can relate to something in it.
Okay, interesting. What would you like for the readers to gain from reading War of Wings?
I would like the readers who take the time to read War of Wings to leave it feeling good and maybe applying it to something that's been painful for them in their life. Sounds weird, but that's really kind of the driving force for writing it.
Okay. How can War of Wings be used to help enrich one's life?
War of Wings, I think, can be used to enrich one's life by seeing that not everything is black and white, and when we try to separate things into those two categories, there's a lot of misunderstanding. And I think by using these two extreme examples of Lucifer and Gabriel, we can seek more understanding with the people around us. And, you know, in my eyes, that's what makes for a harmonious existence. Yeah, I think that's something that can be taken from the book.
Do you have examples in your life that you've encountered over the years that truly epitomize the message that you're trying to get across with War of Wings?
Yeah, I do. I do have some examples in my life. that's not a question I was prepared for, so that would probably take a little bit too long to go into.
No, go ahead. We have plenty of time.
Yeah, I mean, there's been times where I've been really high, and there's times where I've been really low. And so, with these two characters, Gabriel first, he starts off and doesn't really know what he's supposed to do and feels like a complete outsider because everyone else has their roles in heaven and their purpose, and they know exactly what's going on and everything's just great all the time. And, it bothers Gabriel. And I felt like that, definitely, especially when I was younger. I really had no idea. I had an older brother that kind of paved the way for me, but I really didn't know what I was supposed to do. So that's something. With Lucifer, he has everything going perfect, and then he finds something out in heaven that really just rips the carpet out from under him. And everything that he's been living for, existing for, striving towards, is taken away with really just one thing that affects him in a certain way. And he may not be right, but it's what happens and what he decides to change his whole way of thinking on, and it sends him in another direction. So I've had those stages in relationships and things that I've gone through in life that are very parallel and made it a lot easier to write these two stories.
Interesting. Where can someone go to buy your book, get more information about you, and keep up with your latest happenings?
To keep up with the latest happenings for us, we have warofwings.com. We have videos and concept art and all kinds of things that are really fun there. On Facebook, we have a Facebook page, so facebook.com/warofwings. There's a lot of updates there, as well as my own Facebook page, facebook.com/Tanner McElroy. But you can buy the book at Barnes & Noble, barnesandnoble.com, Amazon.com, IndieBound. You can get it off our website as well. So It's out there. It's also available on Kindle and iBooks and that sort of thing. So if you like the hard copies, I suggest getting those because they're pretty cool. We spent a lot of time on that, on the cover. There's some little details, like the inscriptions from the book are actually on the front cover. Look really tiny on there. There's some Latin phrases, but yeah, so that's where you can get it.
How has writing War of Wings impacted you personally?
Writing War of Wings has impacted me personally in the fact that now, having had people being able to read it, which I've wanted for at least 4 years now, I'm having conversations with people that I've known for a while or that I've just barely met that have read it, and it's really fun to talk to them because people have different questions, different perspectives, different takes on it, and I just really love talking about it because I'm so passionate about writing, and it's different for me. You know, with work, it's always just been work. You know, I'm focused on work. Now with this, it's a lot more fun.
What is next for you?
I'm actually working on a few things. I'm into the second book. The second book is called The Rain. Before I started writing the first book, I outlined three. The first one was originally called The Fall. The second one was called The Rain, R-E-I-G-N. And the third one was The Revelation. So I'm working on that one. I have another book that I'm probably going to put out soon called The Stitches, about my life in baseball and all of it. Drugs, love, all that stuff.
Right.
So, you know, I just love to write. I'm trying to keep working on supporting myself in other ways as well. But you know, my driving thing is writing.
Interesting. Wonderful. What advice do you have for aspiring writers? Because I know that you had a very interesting way of raising money to get this book published, or at least elements of it taken care of in terms of marketing and so forth. Can you share that with us?
Yeah, I have a lot of advice. You know, the first thing, if you want to write, I'd say the first thing to do is, and I call it word vomit. I know it sounds pretty bad, but just get it on paper. Get everything you can on paper. Go back and read it later. And every time you read it, you'll make it a little bit better. But I'd say get it on paper, because once you have it on paper, you can do something with it. As far as raising the money that you're talking about, we did a Kickstarter campaign, which is a really cool tool. After we were done, we wanted to raise some extra money for marketing and publishing and trying to get it out there. Because Bill Gates actually said, if I had $2 to my name, I'd put $1 to PR and marketing. And it's so true. You have to have people understand or at least hear about your book to be interested. It's a lot more difficult task than you would realize going in. So this Kickstarter campaign is a way for someone who has a creative project that wants to get the funding to make it happen. You can put up a video, some information about it. You set a goal. Ours in particular was $12,000. And if you get to that goal through your own social media and friends and Facebook or whatever, that's how I did it, was using Facebook. But if you have enough people support it and you get over your goal, it gets funded and you get that money as advancement on purchases. In exchange, the person that supported you gets a gift. So we had all these gifts. There's some people that have their name in the book and the acknowledgments from supporting us on Kickstarter. And I mean, I'm so pleased and proud to have had it be successful. It's a lot of fun. And it's really cool tool for artists.
Fantastic. By the way, we're coming close to the end of the show. Since our show is about people, family, and living life, would you like to share a recipe for living with our listeners this morning?
I will share a recipe for living life. I by no means am perfect, and you don't have to take it. I did not, and this, I'm literally coming up with this off the cuff, but you know, family is the most important thing. If you don't have family, then you know, who do you really have? Sometimes there's things that need to be cut off, but it's really about making it work and loving the people around you as strong as you can until it takes you in a bad way. And I'd say just focus on love, and everything else kind of falls into place.
Fantastic. That's really true. I mean, it's about family, because in the end, they are the ones that are going to be the pillar for you, for your success. And the irony of it, they are actually going to be, for lack of a better term, the handkerchief for you to use when you're down.
Yeah. The handkerchief, I like that. That's funny. But no, yeah, I mean, I totally 100% agree with that. I mean, and I'm lucky enough to have a really strong family that's definitely picked me up and handed me their handkerchief. So I agree.
I understand. Very interesting. Tanner, thank you for the wonderful recipe for living and for spending this hour with me on From My Mama's Kitchen Talk Radio. It has been a pleasure. Thank you again, and have a blessed day.
Thank you so much for having me on, Johnny. I appreciate it.
Thank you. To all our listeners, thank you for being with us. I hope you have enjoyed the pre-recorded interview with Tanner McElroy. Please join me next Tuesday morning. My guests will be Don Farmer and Chris Cole. Don and Chris are veteran news anchors for CNN Live Take 2. They will be discussing about their lives in the news industry and their award-winning novel, Daily News. For additional information about this show and future shows, please go to fmmktalkradio.com. Thank you for listening, and have a blessed week. Bye-bye.